Do your children have questions about the Bible? Let them come through on Kids Perspective on Adventist World Radio SID Media on the second Friday of every month to ask their questions. Text us on +27 73 470 3520 for a spot on the show. Adventist World Radio SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Welcome to Kids Perspective here on Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media, and I am your host, Zanele Zama. I hope that all of you are good, and I hope that all of you are blessed. I have my six darlings in studio that are going to be making sure that the pastor sweats a little bit. We do know that they always sweat whenever we are having Kids Perspective, right? So our pastor, we're going to be joined by Pastor Mazuba as well as Pastor Kakoma, whom, so they're just busy trying to set up there because they had other errands to take care of, but they're going to be joining us in a short bit. So let me tell you who we do have in studio as well as their ages. And if you hear certain questions, you feel like, Zanele, are you sure you didn't sneak in that question? Then no, I didn't. I didn't sneak any questions to them. So all the questions you're going to be hearing today, they prepared themselves. That's the right English, ne? Ish English today is not make sure. It's because I'm sitting amongst great children here. Anyway, on my closer right. My right, I don't know. So we're joined by Uspesihle, she is, let me see, there you are, Spe. Uspesihle is 10 years old. So you can say, you can greet people, Spe, on the mic, Pela, my darling.
Hi,
Spe, how are you?
Fine, thanks, and you?
I'm good. Which grade are you?
I'm in grade 4.
You're in grade 4? Okay, cool. You see, so please, everyone at home, note these things, because the next thing you know, we're going to be hearing things. And yeah, next to her, you see, now this is where, now today I'm gonna know them. There's Shekinah, there's Elkanah. Which one are you?
I'm Elkanah.
Oh, Elkanah. Good. You see, now I will know when I call your names where to look. So that's Elkanah. Elkanah, you're turning 12, right?
Yes.
And which grade are you in?
6.
Grade 6. All right. And then next to you, we have the boys. Ooh, yeah, and they're even sitting together there. We are having the boys. We have Ntembo. Hi, Ntembo. And Ntembo is turning 13. Yes, Ntembo is turning 13. Hi, Ntembo.
Hi.
Please come closer to the mic, darling.
Hello.
How are you?
I am very stressed.
Why?
The pressure that this boy is giving me.
Yeah.
Wow. Very unbelievable.
Ne? Yes. Okay, which grade are you, Ntembo?
I mean, grade 7.
Grade 7. Okay, all right. And then next to him is the boy that is giving him stress. Hi, Kenzo.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Izwan, what a good. Yes, I mean, I get a hi, but a good evening. Kenzo, my daughter. How are you? Which grade are you, Kenzo? Kenzo is 10, by the way. Kenzo is 10. Which grade are you, Kenzo?
I'm in grade 5, Timbo's mom.
Grade 5?
I'm actually 11.
You're 11. You're 11? Since when did you say 11?
No,
you're
not 10. I attend on...
Oh, so it's new. First. This 11 is new. I remember. It's because he didn't give me cake.
It's Timbo's mom. I apologize.
Okay, all right. So Kenzo is 11. I apologize for that. Kenzo is 11. And then when we come from Kenzo, we're going to Hlelo. And Hlelo is 10. Hlelo, how are you?
Good, and you?
I am good. How old are you? Oh, you are 10. I did say you are 10. Why am I asking how old are you? You did say that you are 10. What grade are you, my darling?
Grade 4.
You are in grade 4.
Yes.
All right. And then next to you, one of this time I've got it and I'm nailing it. Shekinah. How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
I am good. And you, I'm presuming you are also in grade 6, right?
Yes.
Yes, she's also in grade 6. Okay, so I do think our pastor is here. So my children in studio, wherever you're doing, please make sure that your phones are on silent. Is that okay?
Yes.
All right, so let me see if the pastor will be able to hear us. Let's add him. He's going to be fixing his camera as we go. But before we even add the pastor there, I think it's Shekinah and Elkanah, one of you, why did you guys, because, so to the listeners at home, this is how it works, right? So sometimes we do come up with a theme, say, yes, we want to hear what children are saying about this. But most times we have the children calling us and saying, okay, we want to be on the show and this is what we want to discuss, right? And then when they called during the past Sabbath, they said they wanted to ask questions about the book of Revelations. I was like, hey, Jani, how? You know, this book. So I want to, either one of them, Shekinah or Elkanah, to tell us, you know, why they wanted to ask questions about, you know, the book of Revelation. What led to them asking for this particular one? Who's taking it? Elkanah. All right. Yes.
I was interested on, like, when Jesus is coming and things about heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So we asked about the book of Revelation because it talks about heaven in more depth.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now you want to know about heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Bona. All right. Okay. Let's see if we can add our pastor here on the stream so we can hear. I have to use this one. Pastor Alfred, can you hear me?
I am getting you loud and clear.
Perfect. Mfundisi Swami, are you well?
I am well. How are you?
We are good, Mfundisi. So as a warning, you know, as I always do, please do have a bottle of water next to you and you know, a towel to wipe the sweat. The youngest child we have today is 10 years. They are 10 years old. There are two of them and the oldest is 13. So are you ready, Mfundisi?
Is Elkana around?
Which one? The one that gave you stress the other time?
No. He's given a very tough question to
No, she's around. It's a girl food. So before we start, I'm gonna ask, let me see, Shelo, if you can please offer a word of prayer for us.
May you please close our eyes. Lord, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you that we got to make it through the day today. May you please bless us, prepare us for today. It's a big day for us. And may you please help everyone out there who's also going to be answering the questions. And may you please stand by us and guide us in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. So Mfundisi, Ziyakhala, I'm going to go from, yeah, the way I introduced them. We're going to be starting off with Uspay. Specifically, you may ask your question, my darling.
Number one, the first question, who wrote the book of Revelation?
See, we're starting off easy, Fundis.
Yeah, thank you very much, Spay. So the Bible tells us that the one who wrote the book of Revelation is John, the beloved disciple of Jesus Christ. Where we tell the distinction between John the Baptist and John, this John who writes this book, because I know it was also part of the question, is also how he introduces the language that is in the book. It shows exactly that this is somebody who had a personal relationship with Christ. So it is John, one of the disciples of Jesus Christ.
All right. Are you sorted, Spear, for now?
Yes.
All right. Let's go to Elkanah.
Okay. My question is, in Revelation 20, verse 10, the beast and the devil and the false prophet, are they really going to burn in the fire forever and never turn into ashes?
Okay. Are they really going? Can you repeat the last part? You're asking, are they really going to burn?
Are they really going to burn in the fire forever and never turn into ashes?
And never turn into ashes?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Bible is very clear that when it comes to the baning, the devil will bane, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they will never go or bane into ashes where they don't cease to bane, because we are told in chapter 21 afterwards that God recreates a new heaven and a new earth. And when you read chapter 20, where the baning is happening is actually here on the old earth. So the assumption is that if they are not going if there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, it means that this old one will cease from burning. It will not burn perpetually, but it will cease at some point in time.
All right. Are you sorted there with that one?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the boys. Who wants to go first? Kenzo and Tembo. All right. And Tembo, you may ask your question. Please come closer to the mic.
In Revelation 20, verse 7, it says, "When the thousand years are over, Satan will be released from his prison." Why would Satan be released from his prison? Because he's like a bad person that people know. So why would he be released?
So when you read Revelation 20. It gives us a description that Satan will be released from the bondage and from slavery. Now, interesting things that you will note is that when at the beginning of Revelation, we are told that he will be thrown into the bottomless pit. You might as well notice that when you go to the book of Revelation, it gives us the aspect that it describes what will happen in the end time, and the release from the bondage is basically implying that Satan has been loosed from his work. Remember, his work is to steal, destroy, and kill. And in the 1,000 years prior to the release, no human beings will be alive in that period. And so God will release him before the final destruction. Not that God wants to destroy, but there's you will notice as we read in verse 10 that he will be only released for a moment to be destroyed again.
Yes. All right. You sorted there, or you still thinking about it, ne? Okay. It's going to come. Let's go, Kenzo.
Okay, so my question is, are God's commands an ultimatum? Because there were a few scriptures that I came across that were like an ultimatum. So why do they come across like God is forcing us? And the part where it comes across like an ultimatum is in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, Revelation chapter 2, verse 16, and Revelation chapter 3, verse 3.
You said Revelation 2, verse?
2, verse 5.
2, verse 5, and?
Revelation 2, verse 16.
16 and?
Revelation 3, verse 3.
Okay, 3, verse 3. Mfundisi, did you get those verses?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, you may go for it.
So the question is God's commands the ultimatum?
Yes.
Can you repeat your question again? Sorry.
Okay, so the question is, are God's commands an ultimatum? Why does it come across like God is forcing us?
Okay. So you will notice that when you read chapter 2, chapter 3, there's an re-emphasis, there's an emphasis on repentance. And repentance is basically... the perfect example I'd give about repentance is that if you are going towards a certain direction, let's say you're going to the north and you turn back and start heading back in the south, that is repentance. Now, from this picture that God is giving us in verse 5, what he is telling us is that we need to repent. Now, repentance on its own is not coercion. Repentance on its own is a journey that is a voluntary journey. And if you read verse 5, he is actually urging us to say, remember where you've come from and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee. So God is giving us an option, a freedom of choice, whether we can repent or not. Now, God's commands are basically the ultimatum of how we should live. They give us a better way of living life and they assure us of a better life. But God does not impose on us. He does not impose on us to obey him. He rather gives us an option. that if you do not repent, remember the word if is conditional. So you can accept it or you can reject it. So God wants us to accept him on the basis of a free will rather than coercion, rather than forcing us.
You sorted there?
Yes, I am. Thinking.
For now. Okay, cool. Let's go to Shelo. Shelo, hi.
Hi.
Yes, you may ask a question.
Yes, what did the seals in the Bible mean back then?
Okay. Mfu?
What did the
seals
in the Bible mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the... thank you. So the seals have basically different meaning in the Bible. And one of the things that you will notice is that when John is writing the book of Revelation, he's writing it within a certain generation and a certain context. And these, within their own culture and perspective, have different meanings and symbolics. And some of these symbolics and meanings were better off understood by the first century. But you and I have certain things that we understand about the seals. So one of the first seals that you'll find is the white horse. And when you find the first seal that is opened, when the first seal is opened, the white horse appears and its rider carries a bow and is given a crown. He rides out as a conqueror bent on conquest. This is often referred to as the conquest of the first Christian journey. You also find the red horse. You also find the black horse. You find the pale horse, and you find the souls under the sea. Now, each of these seals represents different aspects of what we call the apocalyptic vision seen by John of Patmos. And they collectively depict periods of tribulation and divine judgment up to the end times and the ultimate establishment of God's kingdom. So the seals mean different situations and different experiences. They start from the Christian journey when the Christian church is moving with so much fierceness up to the end of time.
All right. Are you sorted there?
Yes, very much. Thank you.
All right. And then now we're going to Shekinah.
So my first question is, how do we know that probation has closed? What is the sign that will tell us?
How do we know that probation has closed?
Yeah.
And how? What are the signs that we can know that probation has closed? Now, first of all, I know there are some friends that may not know what probation is. It's a big word, but probation is basically the, I forgot that I'm speaking to kids. Apologies.
You know.
Let me speak in the tone and in the language that you can, can understand. Apologies. So probation is where God gives us a chance to live, and that chance he gives us, it's a time that he gives us so that we repent and go back to him. Number one. So whilst we are still alive, and number two, it's also the time that means it's a time where God allows the whole earth to live before the world is destroyed. So there are two aspects. There's number one, the individual one, where you as an individual, your time has finished. I would give an example of
Daniel, in the book of Daniel chapter 5. I'm sure you guys know about Daniel chapter 5. When Belshazzar the king had a big feast where he called all his friends together. And as they were drinking and eating, then a finger wrote on the wall. They could not see the hand, but they just saw the finger. And that is an example of where what we are calling probation, their time has been closed. And God is saying, your time is up. You must account for your life, or you must give a reason for your life. That is the primary one, where each and every one of us, our probation, the moment that we die, is ended. Secondly, it's for the whole world. According to Revelation 22, verse 11, the Bible tells us that there's a time when Christ, before Christ comes, he will say that he who is a good person, let him remain good. He who is a sinner, let him remain a sinner. This is a time where you and I, our opportunity of accepting or rejecting Jesus Christ has finished. So there's a time for everything. There's a time when you will no longer be able.
It seems Mpundisi's network is okay.
Number welcome. One, like when you die, you.
Okay, so when I come back to talk, saying that the network has disappeared on Mpundisi, Mpundisi comes back. So let's see if he's going to be joining us back once again. The network is just problematic. We're supposed to be having, in fact, two pastors that are joining us, but then I do know, I understand that, you know, they've not had power for most of the day there in Zambia. So we're just going to be keep praying that their network is going to be okay and they're going to be coming back. So if you do have young ones at home that want to ask about the book of Revelation, do text us on +27 734 703520. That number again, it's +27 734 703520. If they're watching on the YouTube page or Facebook page, you can also drop through your comments on that particular comment section there. So make sure that you do join with us. Let's just going to see if Mfundisi is back with us. Pastor Kakoma, is your network sorted now?
Hello, are you able to get me?
Yes, welcome back, Mfundisi. We had missed you there.
Oh.
Yeah.
I had actually concluded.
Oh, okay.
Where did I end?
We lost you because you're paying attention now, you know. Because you left and came back, left and came back.
Ah, okay. Yeah. When was the first time I lost so that I can summarize?
Let's check. Shekinah, were you following?
He stopped at the part that he's busy talking about the examples of... Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah.
But I was talking
about the examples. You're speaking about examples,
Mfundisi. Okay, so I was saying probation is basically the time that we have before the door of salvation is closed. And I was giving an example of Daniel. Let me give a different one. I think how many of us know the story of... Hello? How many of us know the story of Noah?
Story of Noah? Yeah, they do.
Yeah. So what happens is that before God gives Noah to preach the gospel for 120 years, and he tells them after 120 years, get into the what? Into the ark. So that time, 120 years, we call it probation. When he enters the ark and when he shuts down the door, that is what we are saying, the door has been closed. It's the same thing with salvation. Right now, all of us can be saved, but there will be a time when God will close the door. And one of those signs that will show us that God has closed the door, especially for SDAs, is about the National Sunday Law. When the whole entire world will have what we call the National Sunday Law, where everyone will worship on Sunday, and Sabbath, going to church on Sabbath, will be prohibited. These are some of the signs that will show us that probation has closed for us as Adventists.
All right, you sorted the Shekinah?
Yes.
For now, okay, cool. Spe, are you ready with your second question?
Yes, I am.
All right, go for it, girl.
Question number two. How many chapters are in the book of Revelation?
22.
Yes.
Good, you're right, cool. Elkanah?
When we go to heaven and Jesus has already moved out of the most holy place, will God still answer our prayers when we're in heaven and in the new world?
I didn't say anything.
that's a very beautiful question. Like all the other beautiful questions that we're having tonight, I'm really enjoying. You guys are giving me a good time. Now, first of all, prayer is basically talking to God as you speak to a friend. So like the way you guys are talking to each other, that is what prayer is. And when God answers, it is like him speaking back to you as a friend. Now, what will happen is that when Christ comes back, he's going to restore the old, the way things were before sin came. Now, if you go back to Genesis chapter 2, and you read verse 17, one of the things you will notice is that God speaks to Adam and Eve face to face. He's not speaking to them like the way you guys close your eyes and then pray. He's speaking to them face to face. And so that is how prayer was. The reason why we're not able to speak to God face to face is because sin has caused a blockage between us and God, according to Isaiah 59, verse 1 and verse 2. But as we are restored into righteousness by God, there'll be no need for you and I to be scared of seeing the presence of God, but we'll be able to speak to him just as Adam and Eve were speaking to him. So, in short, we will be able to still pray and speak to God even after that has happened.
All right. Thank you. And Sam, are you ready? He doesn't look like he's ready, Nkosiyam.
In Revelation 22, please explain, why does it end with the word amen? Does it mean that the whole book was a prayer, or the Bible has come to a conclusion?
Okay. Yes. Pastor, did you get that?
No, I did not get that.
Okay, so he's asking why does the Bible the Bible last words, why are they amen? Does it mean that is the end of a prayer, or does it mean that the Bible has concluded, right? Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so firstly in Revelation 22, amen appears at the end of the chapter. And these are the concluding final words of the Bible. And amen in the Greek.
Anyone calling Pastor Kakoma, please don't call
to
him.
Go there. Okay, so in Greek, amen.
The network is really, really, really dribbling us here. You know, let's pray for the network, please, wherever we are at home, so that we can hear Mfundisi nicely there. So he's speaking. You know, now we're about to enter the Greek session. You know, he was about to explain to us what amen actually means in Greek and so forth and so on. But if you are listening to us and you do have your children with you and they do have questions from the book of Revelations, do text us on +27 734 70 3520. That number again is +27 734 70 3520 there, so that we can hear that. Mfundisi, can you hear us? So Mfundisi is checking with me as well if you can hear us as well, but it seems like he has frozen. The network has frozen there. So I was saying that if you do have children that want to engage with us, the number to dial is +27 734 70 3520. That number again is +27 734 70 3520. And also, if you do have children that are listening at home, you know, and they would like to come through as well. And remember, we are catering to everyone in the SID land, so meaning that it doesn't have to be, you know, in and around Centurion, even if they are, wherever they are, be it Zambia. I think there are, the other time we had children from Zimbabwe. We've not had children from Botswana. Maybe the children from Botswana are going to be next. So wherever they may be, we are able to connect, just as we are connecting with Mfundisi here and also have you on camera. So we're just waiting for Mfundisi to fix the network there so that, you know, he can let us know of the questions there. So we are going to be looking at those questions there that that are coming through as well. So do let us know. You mean I won't even attempt to answer. I fear children too much. So I'm not going to even attempt to answer. So if you are at home, strong, and you know you want to answer as well, don't worry, text us on +27 734 70 3520. And yes, our children are busy, you know, they're playing here, they're all on camera. You know, if you can, you're on Facebook, you'll see all of them there. You know, you'll see their cute faces. Why am I saying cute? Yeah, you'll see their cute faces. I think Mfundisi is back. Let's check that. Mfundisi, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yes. Oh, the network is, I don't know, you know, the network does not want our children to get answers about, you know, but nonetheless, Mfundisi. So where you were speaking about the Greek, the how amen is also part of the Greek something. Hey, Mfundisi was back. Is it gone again? Jani, how? Okay, let me do this. I know how to work magic here. Let me see. So we're just going to be having the kids on thingy. So there are a lot of questions that the children have, apparently. So we are going to make sure that we do help them here. Let me also see as well if also Pastor Mazuba, we can get him in this fashion that I want to get Pastor Alfred Ngakhona. So let's see. Let's get Pastor Alfred back on the line first, and then we see if... Mfundisi?
I am back.
Yes. So what I'm going to do, Mfundisi, I'm going to take you off video. I'm going to give you a call so that we speak to the children via the phone call, because I can see that network is going to trouble us.
I think now we can continue.
No, we can continue. All right, Mfundisi, let's continue. If it does drop, then I will call you.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think you, the Greek part, or are you okay with amen symbol? You still want Mfundisi to answer?
I'd like him to answer, please.
Okay, Mfundisi, but please answer the A. You were speaking about Greek there.
Oh, sorry. So amen, basically in Greek, was used as a declaration of affirmation, meaning something was true, certainly, or so be it. So this term in our day and era is used to mean at the end, especially at the end of prayers, doxology and solemn.
Mm-hmm.
So what amen serves to us about the book of Revelation is it's affirming how holy the book is and how true the book is, and how all the other things that have been said in Revelation are giving us a heartfelt agreement, and also the hope of the promises and fulfillment of everything that has been said. So in other words, what the writer is finishing, why he's finishing, is to show us that he's in agreement with everything that is mysterious about the book of Revelation, and also the whole entire Bible as the final book of the Bible.
All right, thank you. Now we're going to Hlelo. Hlelo, are you ready?
Yes.
Let me see. Yes, Hlelo, you may go ahead.
What does the book of Revelation teach us and tell us?
Yes.
What does the book... So, basically, the book of Revelation, as the name itself, the book of Revelation, when you go especially in chapter 1, in verse 1, the writer says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show us unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified by his angel unto his servants John. So Revelation is a book that reveals about Jesus Christ, the things that Jesus has done and the things that Jesus will do before the end of time. So the book of Revelation, in short, teaches us more about who Jesus is. And like the name itself, Revelation means to reveal. It unveils, or it reveals, and it shows us who Jesus Christ is.
All right. You're okay there, Hlelo, right?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Shekana.
In the time of tribulation, do we really have to go to the mountain to leave our homes, beds, food, clothes, and toys?
Did you get it, Mpundis?
I did.
Okay.
Okay. Interesting question, as usual. So the time of tribulation is basically that, you know, tribulation actually means the time, the hard times. And what we believe and what we see in the Bible is that the time of tribulation will be a time when things are very hard on the face of the earth. And as you read in Revelation 13, it gives us a picture that there will be a time when there is a mark of the beast. And this time, according to Daniel 12, verse 1, which talks about the time of trouble such as never seen before, and also Matthew 24, verse 22, which talks about that if it is not for the grace of God, the believers would have all perished if not for the shortening by God's grace for his children's sake. So this is a time when those that believe in God will be mistreated. This is a time when they'll not be allowed to buy, to sell, or to do anything. And there will be, as I mentioned earlier on, there will be an enforcement. What can I use apart from enforcement? There will be a law that you should not worship on Sabbath. So during that time, it will be a hard time. And if you are found worshiping God on Sabbath, you will not be allowed to worship freely. And so people will run to different places. I'm not sure where you guys in Joburg will run to, because there are no mountains close by. But the God himself ultimately will save us. It is where we are. If you're in Joburg, if you're in New York, if you're in Washington, if you're in Lusaka, wherever you will be, God will find a way of saving us. So yes, I do not know whether you carry your toy, but what I know is that it's going to be a time of trouble. Like Daniel 12 verse 1 says, it will be a time of trouble such as never seen before.
All right. If you're at home, you can also text us your questions. We're just going to take a question now that came through on our WhatsApp line. It says, good evening, Tanatswa here. Is asking, why do we have to go through tribulation before Jesus comes?
Why do we have to go through tribulation before Jesus comes?
Yebo.
Okay. So tribulation is basically, it's two people on two different ends with opposing views about life. Hey, I'm using big people's words. Let me begin it by this way.
Yeah.
Let me begin it by this way. You see, in the world that we have, do you guys remember the story of Cain and Abel?
Yes.
What happened between Cain and Abel? Can somebody tell me what happened between Cain and Abel?
Okay. Shekinah, you can tell us.
So Cain and Abel were busy.
Move closer to the mic, you're a bit faint. Yeah.
Cain and Abel were worshiping the Lord, and they were giving him their offerings on the altar. So then Cain got some of his vegetables and put it onto the altar, and Abel took his firstborn lamb and put it onto the altar. And only Abel's offer was accepted by God, and Cain was, and Cain's offering wasn't. So then Cain got mad, and then he killed Abel.
So from this story, did Abel do anything at all to Cain?
No.
But why did Cain kill Abel?
Because he was jealous that God did not accept his offering.
Mm-hmm. So what happens is that the first man, you know what, one of the lessons we get from the story of Cain and Abel, because Abel is the first man killed. The first man to be killed was killed because he was worshiping God. And I like to think that even the last man to be killed will be killed because he's worshiping God. So the same attitude that Cain had when he saw Abel worshiping God in a better way, Cain felt jealousy and anger towards him. Now, I don't know what kind of schools you guys go to, but the schools I went to, the moment you talk about Jesus and start talking about how good God is, it always used to make my friends who don't like talking about Jesus angry, because that is what the devil does. He makes those that do not worship with us look at us like to be their enemies. So the time of tribulation, or the time, these hard times that we are talking about in the Bible, will be as a result of the fact that people are following Jesus in their lives. And when people are following Jesus in their lives, just like what happened to Cain, those that do not worship Jesus will be angry with those that worship Jesus. And that's why they will cause problems. Remember, they'll say that let's make a law that those that worship on Saturday should not worship. And they'll make a law that people should not buy or sell anything. Now, that is Revelation 13. It is not because these people are lazy or they don't have money, but it's because they all want us to worship the beast, according to Revelation 13.
Okay, all right. We'll come there. Let's go to Spay.
Question 3 is, in chapter 21 of Revelation, what did John see?
In chapter 21 of Revelation, what did John see? So Revelation 21 tells us that John saw a new city, a new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. So John sees what happens at the end of the world. And this actually helps you and I to understand that where we are, our lives, it's not the end of everything. It's not the end of everything. This world that we live in is a world that has got so many problems. You know, kids are not safe in this world. There are earthquakes around in this world. There is crime. There are floods. There are tornadoes in this world. There are so many things that harm us. But Revelation 21, the Bible tells us that God is going to rebuild this world and build something much more new, something beautiful, a new earth, a new heaven. And in that place, there will be no more crying. There will be no more weeping. I don't know if you guys have ever cried, but I cry a lot. But God says, even when we're going to cry in that new Jerusalem, he's going to wipe away our tears. Can you guys imagine how it will feel like that God is coming to wipe away your tears? How many of you have ever had an experience where somebody is wiping away your tears because you're upset and you're angry? If mommy does that to you, it feels very nice. But can you imagine Jesus wiping away all our pain, all the drinks that we have lost at school, all the mockery that we have endured in class, all the bullying, all the bad things that have ever happened to us, all the dresses that mommy refused to buy for us and we would have cried for? God will wipe away all our tears. Isn't that a beautiful place that you want to be? How many of you guys would want to be in such a beautiful place?
I would. I would.
All of them. That's all of them.
Yes, and God is going to make that to be a reality. He's going to give us a new earth. Not a new house, not a new mansion, but a new earth.
All right. Where are we going now? Elkanah. Yes.
Question number 3 is Revelation 2 and 3. John writes to 7 churches. What do the churches represent?
Okay. So John writes to the 7 churches. John writes to the 7 churches, which were actually 7 churches that existed during the time of John. And when he writes these letters, he's writing them to actual churches. So when you hear about the church in Ephesus, these were cities that were placed in what we call Asia Minor, and they followed each other. There were so many churches, but these were specific churches that John actually, which existed in Asia. And these churches are Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. These were cities. And when Christianity was beginning, a church in a city, for example, if you're going to say this church is in Maputo, That is how the church is named, as Ephesus was a city, Smyrna was a city, Pergamos was a city, and Thyatira was a city. So the message was written to these specific churches. But then this message is also important for you and I. Though it was not written to us, it is written for us, meaning you and I can learn things from these letters and from these books. That is about the seven churches. So, yet the whole letter of Revelation is not split that each church should read only their part. It moves as a whole, entire, complete book, but then each church has got a specific message. Not that he was only writing to particular churches at a particular time. I hope I am very clear.
Is it clear? Are you okay?
Yeah.
All right. Perfect. Okay. So now we're going to the boys once again. Ntembo, you have a question? Are you okay? You have a question. Okay.
Sir.
Oh, Kosiam. Yes. Go ahead.
Sir, why do you think the four heavenly beasts were created?
Oh, okay. Interesting. It's those ones with a million eyes, ne? Mm.
So it's been quiet waiting for such a beautiful question.
They wanted you to drink water first, Mfundis.
Let me drink extra more water. Yeah. Interesting question. Why do I think they were created?
Yes.
So these are the four living creatures found in Revelation chapter 4. I think if you read from verse 6 up to verse 7. So these things, so the four living creatures are understood from a very big perspective about Bible prophecy and symbolism. So first things that you'll notice is that they, for those that don't know, these are the living creatures, how they appear. They appear like they have the first creature has, it looks like a lion, which symbolizes strength and majesty. You guys have ever seen a lion in your life? It moves. It's a very strong animal. And then when it's walking, it walks in a very majestic way. So this symbolizes strength and majesty. Second is the second creature looks like an ox or a calf, which symbolizes service. You guys know what a calf is, or a cow rather. So a cow symbolizes service. I don't know, but here in Zambia, when you want to marry, you use for lobola, you pay using the calf, which symbolizes service and patience. We also use it for tilling the ground, and in ancient time, that's what it also symbolized. And the third creature with a face like a man, which symbolizes intelligence and reason, and the fourth creature flying like an eagle represents the eagle's swiftness. And if you read about nature, is that the eagle has got a very good vision, which it can see from a distant place.
Okay.
So, In short, the four living creatures are, I was saying that I was going to go into many details. According to what the Bible gives, the four living creatures are symbolic. They are not literal beings created by God to serve specific roles in his heavenly court. These represent various characteristics of God. and they play a crucial role in the worship and adoration of God himself. And they show us how and who God is. So number one, for example, the lion teaches us that God is a strong and majestic God who is very fierce in fighting sin. Remember, when human beings sinned, God offered himself courageously to come and die for you and I. And this, for example, the calf represents service. And that's what God did while he was here on earth. And he's also a patient God. And that's what he's also doing right now, helping us before the end of probation. And it also shows us the human being symbolizes the intelligence and the reason God is intelligent. And finally, the ego, the vision and swiftness. God has got a vision of our lives. There's nothing that goes without God being interested in all these things. In short, these four living creatures show us and represents the character of God.
Yeah, I had to quickly go and get water there. Where were we? Who has that question? Oh, it was you. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I've lost track. Kenzo.
Yes, okay, so this is kind of relating to his question, but it's kind of different. So in the Bible, in Revelation, also in chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, it says that the first of these living beings was like a lion, the second was like an ox, the third had a human face, and the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes. So my question is, why are the creatures in Revelations described in a way that is different, but they have the same names? Like, for example, they have like a lion has six wings and plenty of eyes, many eyes.
Okay, Fundis, did you get that?
Yes, I got it.
Okay.
So I'd like to mention that, you see, the way that the book of Revelation is written in, it is written in what we call apocalyptic. Let me not use these big words. So it's written in a way. It's written in a way that that it's there's a certain way of symbolism that they represent, that those that lived in those days would understand. So it's a style and a way of writing that John was writing in that was understood in that time and era. I'll give you a very practical example. Most of the current folk stories that we see around us right now, you find the one of the popular stories for children, you find the three little pigs. And when you're reading that story about the three little pigs are speaking. Now, you and I know that there's no pig. Okay, let me say in Zambia, there's no pig that speaks. I don't know in South Africa or in Malawi or in Botswana if the pigs speak. But what I know is that there's no pig that speaks. But the stories are written in such a way that we can pick lessons. There's no pig that speaks. There's no bear that speaks. There's no cows that speak. But they are written in such a way that we can learn certain lessons even from these imaginary stories. So they use symbols of pigs maybe to represent things that happen amongst human beings. I don't know if you are clear about that. So even the symbolism in Revelation is written in such a way to show us lessons behind the symbolism of all these animals. For example, if you go in African mostly a hare would represent something very smart. A tortoise would represent something very slow and not very smart. A lion would represent something very strong and sharp. It's all around those symbolism. That's why it is written like that.
All right. Let's go to the ladies. Hello. But before I go to Hello, there's a comment that came through saying that Numbers 23 verses 28, guys. In the NIV version, it says that, and the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? I don't know what to explain. Did you see, you just gave us a scripture, as you know, say slow motion. Okay, hello.
Okay. How many angels flew around the world, and why did they do that?
Oh, interesting. Wendy, you didn't go, right? You are still here.
No, I'm still here.
Okay. I see you.
So how many angels?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, these are very interesting questions. You must take sip water before you can respond.
Okay.
Yeah. So first of all, there are many angels that but to be specific, the Revelation 14, verse 6 to verse 12, gives us that there were three angels that are flying over the earth. But when you go throughout the whole Bible, it gives us different perspective. And Revelation 14 is a chapter that talks about the spreading of the gospel to the ends of the world. And these angels are representative of human beings. So in a nutshell, we would say there's the three angels who are carrying a message which represents the preaching of God's word. And there are many other angels that fly around the world even right now.
All right. Yes, Shekinah. You may ask the question, your next question.
So my next question is, are we living in the end because there are lots of earthquakes that kill thousands of people and diseases that are so fatal a doctor can't help?
You?
So, thank you very much, Mrs. Shekinah or Shekinah?
It's Shekinah.
Shekinah.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Shekinah. What you're saying is absolutely true. When we read in the book of Matthew 24, beginning from verse 4, the Bible gives us a description of what will happen in the end time. And the Bible tells us that there will be many Christ and there will be many people that will come claiming to be Jesus Christ. And we are seeing that there shall be wars and rumors of war. There shall be nations rising up against nation, kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be famines and pestilences. There will be earthquakes in many places. What we are seeing in our day and era is that every now and then there's war around the world. There's war in Gaza between the Israeli and the Palestinians. There's war in Ukraine. There's war in South Sudan. And it's nations against nations. And we also see within countries, I know for a fact that within our region, we also have tribalism, where people think that because they belong to a certain tribe, they are better than others. And those that belong to another tribe think that these that belong to another tribe are more arrogant. We see all these things happening around the world. And if you watch your news, you will find that there are also so many famines We just had our own drought in Zambia, in the southern part of Zambia. We had a very bad drought, and people are going hungry, both in Zambia, in Zimbabwe, and many other places. So these are also showing us that the end time is near. Jesus told us that to say, when you begin to see all these things, know that the time before he comes is very near. So we are living in the very end times. And our role as children of God is to worship God and have a relationship with him. We should not be scared of the things that are happening around us. Rather, we should have trust and hope in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Okay, so we do have a question that came through on the WhatsApp line, Mfundisi, and I'm seeing our time. We have about 12 minutes to go. Hey, mathematics is not my thing. So we're going to try and be quicker with everything, with the answers now, Mfundisi, ne? Mfundisi.
I'm there. I'm
okay.
There.
All right. Cool. No, it's fine. So I'm just going to take the one. I see there's a mommy who sent a question. Mommy, the adult session is coming. Wait. The adult session is coming. So this one from Tanato again, saying that how will people in heaven feel for some of their loved ones who will not make it to heaven after Jesus' second coming?
It will be painful not to see your relatives in heaven. It will be a painful experience. And I think that's the reason why Jesus says that God will wipe away all your tears in heaven. It's going to be a painful experience to know that your husband, your son, your father, your uncle is not there. It's not like when we go to heaven, God will shut out the emotions that we have. It will not be an easier experience. It will be a painful experience.
Okay, all right. So we're just going to, you know the drill, Miss. You're not a stranger to Kids Perspective. So we're going to do rapid fire now, Mfundisi. You explain faster. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take three questions and questions at once. You answer then three questions at once, because I think by the time we do the whole six again, our time would have rounded up. Is that okay, Mfu?
It is.
Okay, all right. So we're going to kick it off with Uspesi Zelspe. Your last question, my darling.
Question number three. In chapter 21 of Revelation, question number four, who are the 144,000?
It's not a trap, we promise, ne? 144,000. Okay, all right. Elkanah?
There are currently four creatures by the throne of God. Is it possible that Satan was the fifth creature before he sinned?
Kids, I, you know, we are about to end and you guys are coming through with fire questions. I can't. Huh, was Satan the fifth one?
Yes.
Sure. Okay. Ntembo? You don't have a question. Okay, perfect. Kenzo, you have a last question?
Yes, I do. So, I've seen in three places the scriptures make mention about the voice of many waters, right? Mm-hmm. So, what does the voice of many waters mean? And the three places where it mentions, this is in Revelation chapter 1, verse 12, Revelation chapter 14, verse 2, and Revelation chapter 19, verse 6.
Okay, all right. Mfundisi, did you get those questions?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So you may kick it off with these three ones, and then we're going to take the last two because I see our time is really, really running. Kicking it off with, who are the 144,000? Hey, question.
Yeah, so the Revelation 7 gives us a description of who the 144,000 are. And it tells us that these are they that will see God, will see Jesus Christ when he comes. So at the second coming of Christ, we're given a picture that there'll be two groups. There'll be the 144,000, and there'll also be another group, the great multitude, which cannot be numbered. So these are the people that will be found believing in Jesus Christ when he comes. The 144,000 who will not die, who will not see any death, and also those that will, together with the great multitude.
Okay, next one.
There were two creatures in heaven.
There are four creatures in heaven, and was Satan maybe the fifth creature because you know he was cast out and all of that?
Okay, so first of all, we dealt with the four living creatures, and what we mentioned about the four living creatures was that these are creatures, these are not creatures that exist out of the existence of God. These are representative of God's character and God himself. So they are not external creatures. But when it comes to Satan, the Bible tells us in the book of Ezekiel 28, verse 14, going down, that he was amongst the cherubims. Now, the cherubims are the ones that sit by the throne of God. So he was a covering cherub by the throne of God. So he was in the very presence of God, but he was not among the four living creatures. The four living creatures represent the characteristic traits of God himself.
All right. Okay. The voice of many waters. Sorry, Kenzo. I nearly forgot that one point. The voice of many waters. What is that, since we do have a reference to it in the Bible and in the book of Revelations?
So the voice of many waters is a description that is given about how Christ himself speaks. And when he spoke,
I think we just lost the Mfundisi. I think we're going. We just lost Mfundisi there as he's answering about the voice of many waters. And I see the adults are also coming through with the questions. They're saying, so are we going to recognize each other in heaven? You're not we. Okay, we're going to do a adult's perspective. And then I see Rolani also asked us that if the four creatures are not literal, why would John in Revelation 4:6-18 and Ezekiel 1:10 describe them in so much detail? Hey, yeah, ne, adults are coming through with spice. I think we have lost Mfundisi. Mfundisi, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yes.
You will be able to recognize your brother and your sister. Even people that we have never met, like Sister Zanele, you'll be able to recognize their. There'll be that recognition. And so the great detail that has been given, you know, the book of Revelation is not a book that you can discuss in 5 minutes and fully understand and appreciate. And I would have loved, you know, topics around the four living creatures. There are so many lines of thought around it, even within the Adventist church. But what I basically would like to conclude is that it may not be an issue that we can conclude right now because we don't have time.
Okay, all right. So we're going to be taking the last two questions from my two lovely ladies, Hlelo and Shakina. Hlelo?
Yes. Sorry. So what is the promise with... What is the promise and hope about the New Jerusalem?
Nice. Promise and hope about the New Jerusalem. Shakina?
Why was Paul instructed by God not to say what the three thunders said?
John said the seven thunders. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Did you get that one from DC?
Yes, I did.
All right. So we may take those last two questions.
So the promise of and hope of the New Jerusalem is that, hello?
Yes, Pastor, we are here.
So the New Jerusalem will be a city for the redeemed. It will be a city for those that have been saved and for those that will worship and have a relationship with God. And for you and I, we'll be able to meet those of our siblings that have died and those that we loved and that we could have wished to meet for a long period of time. And so it's going to be a hopeful place, a place where there'll be tranquility, a place where there'll be, it's going to be an amazing place where the blacks and whites will live together, where the Zulus and Sotus will live together without carrying spears, where kids will not be afraid of the lion, kids will not be afraid of a snake, kids will not be afraid of an elephant because it may injure them. It'll be a place that I think it's difficult, too difficult to describe. So God himself will be with us, and it's going to be an amazing place.
All right, the seven thunders and fundus. The seven thunders. Why was John told not to write what the seven thunders said? What they said, basically.
So the seven thunders were basically something that he was not ready, and that was not, you and I could not fully understand. And in the by and by, God himself will teach us what was necessary for our salvation.
All right. So Mpundisi, they are asking for another Bible perspective of the book of John. But before Mpundisi, we can close it, right? I need to do justice to my guest here. Does anyone have a burning question? Does anyone have a burning question that we must take? I'm seeing two hands. All right, we're going to take the two burning. You also have one? Okay, we're going to take the three burning questions from this family. Before we close, let's start it off with Uspe.
Are these churches in Revelation real churches, or are they symbols?
Okay, are they real or symbols? Yes, Milkana?
My question is, how many different types of angels are there?
Okay. Types of angels are them, Fundasi, and then Shakina.
Which John wrote the book of Revelation? Was it John the Baptist, or was it another John that nobody knows about?
Okay, all right. Okay, so that is the last round, Fundasi, if you can answer those ones for us.
Okay.
I could hear Mfundisi network going there. He just went like...
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm back.
Okay.
So the first one is...
Oh, were the seven churches real, or are they symbolic?
So the seven churches were real churches that were based in Asia Minor. They existed at that time.
Right, okay, cool. And then Ilkana, you said,
how many different types of angels are there?
Yes, how many types of angels are there?
So from what we gather from the Bible and from what I can recollect, it's a very tough question, and I must confess, I can recollect two types of angel, the cherubims and the seraphim. The other answer, I will send it to Auntie Zanelli when I get it, but I'm not sure. I must confess right now.
Okay, he's going to give us, and then we'll give it to you, right? And then Shekinah's one, was it John the Revelator, or John the Apostle, or another John that just, appeared to come and write the book of Revelations?
So, like I mentioned earlier, the one who wrote the book of John is John the Apostle, one of the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ. He was the one who was exiled to the island of Patmos. And when we read Revelation 1 verse 3, the one who receives this vision is on the island of Patmos. Now, John the Baptist, who was a relative of Jesus, never went to the island of Patmos. You know the story. He was killed within the city.
Okay. So, Mfundisi, as we wrap it up, this one, I have to ask it on their behalf. You know, they sent it during the week. I think they forgot to ask it. But even me as an adult, I'm interested in it. And we're going to close in it. Mfundisi. It says here, this was Elkanah's question, and then it says here, when they bury people, they normally put heavy stones on top of the grave. So when Jesus comes back, how are they going to rise from their graves with those heavy stones on them?
Okay. So the Bible tells us that when Jesus comes, he will call all those who have died to rise up from the grave. And so I believe technically speaking, it is harder for a stone. It's easier for a stone to move away than to bring back somebody from death to life. So because God has got power over death, definitely there's no stone, no metal, no concrete that God is not able to lift. So God's power that will resurrect people that died 1,000 years ago definitely has got power over the concrete. So God's strength will help us to rise up.
All right. Thank you, the Mfundisi, for that one. Who's going to pray? Kenzo, it's cut his pedi. I said if you've been in question. Yini, okay, burn.
Okay, sorry, quick one. So on the question that they asked before recently, isn't when Jesus comes to fetch us, isn't that our souls are gonna come up, not our bodies? Then we get, I'm not sure where I heard, but I thought we get like the new bodies, and then it's only our soul that lifts up, and since like our souls not like bodies, it can kind of go through things, you know. That's my question.
Yeah, you got that. I can answer. Mfundisi is right. It's not our bodies but our souls. TikTok. Okay, say something, Mfundisi, before as we close up.
So basically, you're talking about Revelation.
Yes.
So what happens is that, look, the idea of a soul being separate from your body is contrary to what the Bible teaches. What the Bible teaches us is that when you die, your breath goes back to God and the body goes back to the ground. And the union of the body and the breath is what we call the soul. So I don't know how the magic will happen, but the union, the breath goes back to God. So God comes, he brings back the breath, definitely to reunite with the body. But I don't know how the union will be. But God has got power. Not that our soul is separate from our body. That's the point I'm trying to put across.
All right. Whew. Thank you, Mfundisi. It has been a tough one for you. I do know that it has been a challenging one. But before we close it, Mfundisi, I would just like to take this opportunity to thank you and also thank the parents of the children that are joining us here, because if they didn't say yes, you know, the children can come through, they can join through, wouldn't do anything, because we need the parents' approval. And to you, children, thank you for coming through and thank you for showing interest that you also want to be, you know, you also want to come and have your questions answered on radio as well. So Let me see. Mini, 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 mo. Do we do that? Okay. You'll pray. Thank you. Because you can see that I'm looking for someone who's going to pray for us. Please do pray, Elkanah.
Okay, let us close our eyes as I pray. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us something new. And we hope that everyone around the world and here in South Africa have learned something new about your word and about the coming of Jesus Christ. I pray that we have a safe journey back to our homes and wherever we are going. I pray in the wonderful name of your Lord, of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, kids. Mfundisi, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, guys. Shekina, Elkana.
You wrote all their names, eh? Hello, Spesihle,
Kenzo. Kezo.
Yes, and Tembo.
Hello. You guys are awesome.
Yeah.
And they gave me tough questions, especially the one in the red, in the green head sock.
Yeah. I'll tell you after the show about that child. Anyway, so thank you so much to you, Mfundisi, to the mommies and daddies and children listening to us today or watching us on Facebook as well as YouTube. If you also do want to come through or you also do have a question that you know you want us to tackle, just text us on +27 73 470 3520 or tell your mommies, your daddies or your pastors or your elders saying we want to be on AWR. They know what to do. You know, they will get in touch with us and then we're going to be having you there. But then for me now, as Zanele Zama, it is a goodbye and stay blessed, and to each and every single one of you, bye-bye and happy Sabbath.
Do your children have questions about the Bible? Let them come through on Kids Perspective on Adventist World Radio SID Media on the second Friday of every month to ask their questions. Text us on +27 73 470 3520 for a spot on the show. Adventist World Radio, SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.